May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's when you have really tough readings like this that you get really disappointed that you were unable last Wednesday to go to Bible study. Because that's the place where we've been discussing the coming readings for every Sunday. As Cheryl rightly said, today is the second last Sunday of this church year. Next week is Christ the King, and as Cheryl shared, then is the first Sunday in Advent. This year, we have journeyed through the Gospel of Luke, and together we've learned something about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We have heard stories about what Jesus has done in those very short years, 3 years. How he exercised his ministry, teaching and healing and preaching. And we've also heard how both his preaching and his actions disturbed some of the Pharisees and some of the scribes, especially those who needed to be challenged. And that probably includes us as well. We heard of Jesus eating and drinking with the outsiders and healing the untouchables. He began to be hated by some of the scribes and Pharisees, who began, as we know, to plot against him. And that is what happens after today's reading. We know what happened, that those actions led to his death. When Luke wrote his gospel, the temple had already been destroyed. So why is Luke using this story in this part of the reading for this Sunday? And this is what usually stumps me. This reading is called an apocalyptic reading, right? And it can even get worse than that. There's another word that is even harder. Why are those readings in both the New Testament and in the Old Testament? They sometimes feel like predictions. We've already heard predictions in the past about when people have told us about the end of the world is coming. Predictions are not always right. I want to share a couple with you. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, does anybody know what IBM is? Yes. In 1943, actually, said, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Popular Mechanics magazine in 1949 made this projection, where a calculator on the ANIAC is equipped, I don't even know what that is, with 18,000 vacuum tubes, Stan might be able to help us, and weighs 30 tons, computers in the future may have only 1,000 vacuum tubes and weigh only 1.5 tons. Now we can have them in our pockets. There was an inventor by the name of Lee D. Forrest who claimed, while theoretically and technically television may be feasible, commercially and financially they are an impossibility. Okay, who hasn't got a TV? It's not a surprise for the readers in Jesus' time to have Jesus respond to the comment about the temple's beauty. It was even more beautiful than Solomon's temple. And why would they use this reading? Maybe this reading was used that we get tied to buildings. There's a lot of sales happening in the Uniting Church of buildings at the moment. And it's really sad because we know that the numbers of Christians working in worshipping in churches is diminishing. And that's a really sad thing for people who've been part of that particular building. And usually what we hear is, you know, my grandfather was part of beginning this church. It is where my parents and ourselves were married, where our children were baptized, and they've been married. And see how it's all about the building? It's interesting that it's not very often that I hear when we're talking about churches that are going to have to be closed, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, I am so sad because that is where I experienced the love of God. It is where I began my Christian journey. It is the place I yearn to be because it is where I worship and give praise and thanks to God. Then Luke gives us some insight into the present world, and I had a picture up on that. I wonder if we could go back to it. Because this reading is talking about all this stuff. It's the stuff that we have become so aware of when we're watching our television screens. And we're talking about a reading that was written well over 1,000 years ago. And we can look back within a few centuries and see what has happened. And we certainly know about these pictures. So what is it that Jesus is saying to the what Luke actually is saying to his community? His community was devastated. Jesus is now gone. They were being executed because of their faith. Things were really tough. We can look at our own world and see how tough it is at the moment. And you might say to me, well, all those things that I hear mentioned in the gospel reading today are all happening. In my lifetime, in your lifetime. And I don't think that you really wanted to go to church this morning to have a look at these kind of slides. But guess what? They're the reality of what we live in. So what is Luke trying to tell us through this reading? Jesus is trying to tell us this is part of what happens in our world. Unfortunately. But for you who have got faith, faith is what is going to help you and sustain you through this. The knowledge that God loves you, that he cares about you, that no matter what you experience in your lifetime, God is there for you. I love the story of this little boy. This happened in America, and it was Thanksgiving Day. And the family asked the youngest member of the family to say the prayer. And this is what he said. Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of the holidays. Thank you for the turkey and dressing and Mum and Dad and even for my little sister, even though sometimes she can be a pain. Thank you for books and TV and games. Thank you for loving us and, oh yeah, and take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, God, because without you we are sunk. That is exactly what Jesus is trying to say in the Gospel of Luke. We all know about the hard times that we experience in our own lives. We've shared some of those this morning already. We see a slide like this on our news screens probably every single day. And God is saying, hang on to that faith. That is the hope that I give to you through my death and resurrection. A community of faith is a community of hope. It's the place where Jesus is asking us to witness to our faith, to be there for others. That kind word. So, what does that mean for us? You know, the thing that hopefully people will express, like I have expressed with you about the closure of our churches at the moment, is that people outside of the church will see that they were a community of love and mission. And that becomes tough too, because all the time you are asked to do more and more. We're going to listen to a YouTube soon that's called Do Something. And I hope that when you see that, you'll be able to recognize the very things that you continue to do, and they are exactly what God is asking us to do through Jesus in this gospel reading. So this morning's not about bad news. Of course, that picture's about bad news. And I'm sure that you, like me, will always be wondering, how can we change this situation? And God says, I love you, and I invite you to love each other. We had that Thessalonians reading because I wanted the last line in that. Never give up on being good. And so we are called to look for ways through the chaos of the present moment to remember God's way of justice and kindness and mercy. And we are called to look forward to and work towards the very thing that God is hoping for both our own lives and for the community and the world in which we live. How good is that? How good is that? And the best thing is that God gives us the power. It says in this reading, don't worry about the words even you need to say, because I will give you the words. God will give us the strength. God will embrace us with his love no matter what we're going through in this time and in maybe times to come. And maybe it's all also about farewells. Lots of people are having to say farewells. Loved ones that have died. Really tough farewells. People have had to go. I know of the family that I did the funeral for that live where Lynn lives. She's just shifted this week out of her home into Homestead. Another farewell. We say farewell to friends and family. And God says, it's tough. I know what it's like. Just know that I'm here for you. And I love the words of that little boy. Look after yourself, God, because without you, we are sunk. That's cool, isn't it? And sometimes, I've said to you before, God is the last person we sometimes reach out to. May God richly bless you in your coming week. And may you always know how much that God loves you and how he invites us to love others. Let's have a look at the YouTube. Thank you.
the trouble now. I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty and children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then
opportunity to give thanks to God for the things that you are already doing and can still do.